I'm still getting my composure back, so just take a deep breath with me. No need to fear. That's a good, good word for us. To trust in God, to believe that God is faithful and present and real and here, and God is, and I need to hear an amen from my people this morning. Can I hear an amen? Tin and Tim do a great job last night. Gosh, I'm so thankful to be able to hear him. And we don't know each other, but we have a lot of commonalities in our story, and that's kind of how God is. You know, you just kind of come together, and we thought, well, I hope we're not teaching on exactly the same thing, but we knew, you know, that no matter what, it didn't matter, because God's going to do his thing. You know, that's how God is. He just worked it through, and Tim, I just want you to know that what you shared last night was personally moving and helpful to me. In fact, last night when I laid down on my pillow, I just said out loud, "Our Father who art in heaven." And that's how I went to sleep last night. And if you go to sleep like that every night, it changes you. Unlike Tim, I was not a good kid. I mean, there's no two ways around it. I can't like sugarcoat it or go, "Well, I was good in my family." I wasn't. I was troubled. I was a troubled kid. And I acted out of some of that stuff, and I did some things that, you know, I don't put on my resume. And sometimes you go, if there were only a delete key for life, I'd press it. It would probably not even say delete on it anymore, because it would have been pressed so many times the word would have rubbed off. But God uses everything. And I had a little experience with a friend of mine. The other night, we went out to dinner. It was we do a little birthday celebration thing. So her birthday's in July, my birthday's in August. And so we combined and we went out to dinner. And my friend is, this is her self-proclaimed title, not mine for her. She says, "I am a goody two-shoes." And I'm like, "That's good for you. That's awesome. So glad." And so she doesn't ever like to do anything that's outside of the norm of, we would say she was a rule keeper. And that's probably why we're friends. Because I'm drawn to people who are responsible and rule keepers, and she's drawn to people like me who go, "What rule? Is there a rule? I didn't know there was a rule." So we're in downtown Sacramento, and Sacramento's not a huge city, but it's a great city, and I love it there. Parking in downtown Sacramento can be a little bit of a challenge. I don't think they knew they were going to get as big as they are, and so they're constantly improvising. And we were downtown, and we were trying to find a parking place for this dinner, and she had made a reservation. You know, she's a goody-two-shoes. The reservation was at 6:30, which meant we needed to be there at 6 o'clock. And I was like, 6:30, it's good, we're good, we're good. We'll get there 6:45, they don't care, they'll take us. But she was getting nervous, I could feel it. So every once in a while, I pull out some of my old skills, and I said, "Hey, pull into this garage right here." And she goes, "No, that's a residential garage. That's a garage for people who live here." I said, "No, just pull in there. Just pull in there." So she pulls in, and we see a thing, and it says you pay $4 for parking. So I was like, I got it. I had $3. You can do a lot with $3. And she came out. I go, "Give me a dollar." She goes, "I don't have a dollar." I go, "What do you mean you don't have a dollar?" She goes, "I don't have a dollar." I said, "We're going to dinner. What do you mean you don't have a dollar? What are you thinking? I'm buying tonight. Come on." And she said, "I don't." And they wouldn't take change. So I sat there for a minute. And then I saw this car coming out of the garage, the residential garage where the gate opens. You know, it's a trigger gate. It opens when the car comes. And then, you know, you pull out. And if you can pull out, you can pull in. And I go, she goes, "No, no, no, no." So I said, "Let me talk to the car." She's like, "Yeah, be my guest." So I walk over, I go, "Hey, so we're looking for a parking spot, and I have $20. Could you give a change for $20? And she says, "I don't have change for $20, but she says, "Hey, you know what? You can have our parking spot inside." I felt good because it was legal. Like, I had done something legal. I had not cheated. I had not committed a crime. I was like, "Are you sure?" "Yes." She says, "We have an extra spot. You guys can pull in." So we pull in. We get our spot. We're so excited about it. And I'm just saying, "It's going to be awesome. We have an awesome meal." And then we come back and we realize you got to be a member of the place to get into the garage. She didn't tell us that. And I was starting to get text messages from home. My husband was saying, where are you? Are you coming home? Where did you have dinner? And when I get those messages at night when we're doing split parenting, I know something's happening at home where we need double parenting. Now, for those of you who are here who might be single parents, I want you to know that I pray for single parents almost every day because I'm amazed. I'm amazed at what you have to do. It is so hard to be a single parent. So when I get that text, I start getting a little bit anxious inside because I know Dan's anxious. And so, by the way, I got a picture yesterday of Dan catching a fish. It said Photoshop on the bottom. I don't know. So I'm nervous because Dan needs me home. And you know, to be honest with you, I don't want to ask if something's wrong. I just am like, la, 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 la. I'm at the dinner. And so I say to my friend, we got to get in this garage. We got to get in. And she looks at me and she's like, well, you're the criminal. Get us in. You ever have moments like that in life where you think, I got in and I can't get out? Sometimes you didn't even know you got in. I mean, sometimes you're just in it and you're looking around for a way out and you can't find it. Sometimes somebody put you in the garage. You didn't even ask. And you're in the middle of it and you're looking and the doors are closed. The gates are down. There's no way out. Life is like that sometimes, isn't it? I read a little book a couple years ago, and the book was good, but the title was best, and the title was Not What I Expected. How many of you, if you wrote your life story, would use that title? It's not what I expected. This is not what I expected. I found a journal I wrote in college, and I had listed out my 5-year plan, which is miraculous. For me, that's a miracle, a 5-year plan. I mean, even to think in 5 years, like a 5-minute plan for me would be good. So 5 years, I was like, wow, that was a good day. I don't know what happened on that day. And I had it all written out. You know, my goals, my plans, this was going to happen then. And now I looked at it now, and I looked at it, I laughed. I laughed when I looked at it. Because I was like, wow, that's a neat plan. But my life is not what I expected. I'm thinking about God's amazing and incomprehensible and mysterious love. One of the things I think about is that God is a master of showing us an open door into a promise that will never be broken, and that is God's promise of security. When everything in life is uncertain, when every door seems closed, when every sign you see says no exit, God is certain. I want you to take your copy of the scriptures this morning and turn with me to Psalm 46. I'm going to look at this Old Testament psalm, and we're going to take a little bit of time and kind of unpack how does Psalm 46 reveal to us that in a world that is uncertain, God is certain? And how does that certainty help us to have a window into seeing and experiencing and knowing, not knowing just here, but knowing in our bones that God's love is for us? I'm going to read Psalm 46 for you this morning. Starts like this: God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. So we will not fear, even if earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God himself lives in that city. It cannot be destroyed. God will protect it at the break of day. The nations are in an uproar and kingdoms crumble. God thunders and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world and causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear in two. He burns the shields with fire. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord Almighty is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. You know, one of the things I love about Israel, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, is they're like us. I mean, we relate to them because they're real people, right? Israel has this amazing story. They have this incredible rescue by God. You know, I mean, I have this visual in my head, you know, of Charlton Heston leading the Israelites through the Red Sea, and it's incredible. God does this miracle. You're amazed, and the Israelites are fired up. We are out. And then they get into the wilderness, and they go, we are out. We're out. Like, God, thanks a lot. Thanks for rescuing us from slavery and taking us into the wilderness. And they do what most of us do when we're in a hard place in life. They romance the past. It was so great to be in Egypt. That was awesome. I loved it. I loved making bricks with straw all day long. I loved getting whipped. It was so fantastic. We romance the past, you know? We look at the past with a certain perspective. It has a lens, and many of those lenses are called rose-colored glasses. When we're in the middle of a present that's hard. But I love that about the Israelites, is they're honest. They could say, well, this isn't what I expected, God. I would like something different. But God says to them, I don't worry about what your past, your present, or your future is, because I know your past, I know your present, and I know your future. And in the midst of things that feel uncertain and feel scary and feel like giant monsters under your bed, God says, I am certain. I am certain. One of the ways God shows us that he loves us is through his certainty. I'm in a tug of war right now with my 17-year-old daughter. And this is a normal tug of war that all mothers and daughters go through. And that is that she wants to be independent from me, but she's dependent on me. And we both love it and hate it. Like, I'm not going to lie. I don't have a big brown chair. I have a kitchen chair. And every morning, I sit in my kitchen chair, and every morning, my daughter comes down, and she sits in my lap, still sits in my lap. She's a little pint of a thing. She's Guatemalan. We adopted her from Guatemala. She's 4'11". She's convinced she's still going to grow, even though that's not going to happen. So she can sit in my lap really pretty easily, because I'm bigger than she is, and she sits on my lap, and we have this little, you know, girl bonding time. And I'm not really a morning person, so this is a risk for her every morning, to be honest. But she's certain, because every morning she comes down, she knows she's going to walk over, she's going to sit on my lap, we're going to have this time, you know? And it's the one thing I know is certain in my relationship with my daughter. Because every other moment of the day, I'm not sure what daughter I'm getting. No, really. I mean, she's amazing, and I love her. And I would do anything for her. And if anybody wants to hurt her, I'll kill them. And I'm not kidding. I mean, I am so protective of both of my kids. But her moods have given me whiplash. I'm not sure what, but she knows for sure, and I know for sure, that when she comes down, she'll sit on my lap in this wicker chair. I need to get a big brown chair. I gotta get on that. Thank you, Tim. Because this chair isn't even that comfortable. It's certain. We need certainty in our lives. And Psalm 46 says, you know, in the midst of everything that's uncertain, here's one thing you know for sure. God is certain, and that is one of the ways he shows us how deeply he loves us. You will never get whiplash with God. You will never say, what God am I getting today? Am I getting the gracious God? Am I getting the helpful God? Am I getting the dependable God? You will always know who God is. This is one of the reasons why I am passionate and tell people all the time, be in Scripture. Be in Scripture because this is where you learn about the character of God. This is where you learn that God is dependable. This is where you learn that God is faithful. This is where you learn that God always shows up. Granted, sometimes at the 11th hour and the 59th minute and the last second. But always shows up. Not once in my life could I ever say God didn't show up. It's always been there. Get into those scriptures so you know who God is. Because when you know who God is, when you get into the murky waters, you have that to hold on to. You've got that paddle to navigate. You know, for the Israelites, in their day, there were two things, two major things that they were anxious about, two things that were really dangerous to them. The first was the sea, and the second was the nations. So for the Israelites, they believed that the earth was held up by the mountains, and the mountains went deep into the sea, and the mountains and the seas were constantly at war. And so they were never sure what would happen. I mean, really, when the psalmist says in this psalm, even if earthquakes come and the mountains crumble into the sea, that's their biggest fear. That the earth is going to kind of collapse in on them. That the world is going to collapse in on them. And the second thing that they feared most was the nations, because they had everyone around them that were going after them. Who feels like that? Do you ever feel that way? Like everywhere you turn, somebody's after you. I mean, in your office, you think, no matter what I do, I'm not doing it right. You know, in relationships, no matter what I say, it's the wrong thing. Whatever it might be, we can be like the Israelites. We can say, gosh, everyone is against me. So for Israel, these were key things that they lived with all day long. I mean, they didn't have the benefit we have of science and knowing about things and being able to even predict things. They didn't have that stuff. So for them, it was really a moment by moment. A moment by moment. So they've got geography, they've got nature, really, and they've got people. And you put those two together, and that's a lot. That's a lot. And in their greatest moments of faith, they say this: we will not fear. We will not be afraid. We will stand tall. We will stand on this ground. We will not worry it's going to get swallowed up into the sea. We will not be afraid of those around us who are trying to destroy us, because we know God is certain. So what does that mean for us? I mean, what does it mean if we say God's love is this deep, that God knows us and wants us, right? And that God is certain. What does certainty mean for us? I think it means a couple of things. I think certainty means that because God is certain, I can trust that God is faithful. Because God is certain, I can trust that God is faithful. The first three verses of Psalm 46 are a statement. They're an affirmation that says, this is what we know to be true about who God is. God is this, our refuge and our strength. God is this, ready to help in times of trouble. Always ready. God is this, God is faithful, we will not fear. Faithfulness is an interesting thing for me, because life hasn't turned out exactly the way I thought it would. And so reconciling that with the faithfulness of God has created a challenge that I didn't know that I would have to take. It's sort of like, you know, somehow you ended up standing on the little round circle in the canopy, and you didn't know you had a harness on, and you didn't know that you were going to have to jump to the next station. You know, you're like, oh, great. Did anybody know I'm afraid of heights? You know, right? That's kind of what it's been like for me. I didn't know it would look like this. I made assumptions, and we all do that, and those assumptions didn't happen. So faithfulness for me has been a learning experience, because when God, we say God is faithful, this is what it means. It doesn't mean God's faithfulness gets me what I want. It means God's faithfulness gives me who I need, who is the Lord. God's faithfulness doesn't mean I get what I want. People often ask me, so I told you a little bit about my son Trent, who's severely autistic, very limited language, not really relational, kind of would really be happy to be alone on an island with provisions brought in every day. That's who he is. I mean, I don't mean that meanly or in a bad way. That's how he's wired. He is content in his own company all the time and has no need for social relationship. Now, some of us are shy. Some of us are introverts. But he's 100% introversion from a social perspective. No need. He has joy in his life when he engages on his terms. But, you know, if he doesn't want to engage with you, there's no engaging happening. My daughter, who is the most social person I know on the face of the planet, who has triple the words of anyone else, my husband, who is really an introvert and might even be on the autism spectrum himself, that's his statement. We've learned a lot about in our marriage from our son, because I'm like, oh, that's why you're like that. Anyway, and it's okay. It's okay. By the time he comes home from work, he runs a company, he's used pretty much all of his words. I'm not kidding. I mean, I know that men and women have more words than men, and so that's not uncommon that, you know, men lose their words faster than women, but he loses them way faster. And then he walks into a house of two women who have a lot of words. I mean, Maggie, triple the words, me, double the words for sure. And everything is in fast motion. And I could see the glaze. He goes, I send him out when he comes home. I go outside. Go outside for 10 minutes. Just go outside for 10 minutes and do a little decompressing. And like, here's a sheet of paper with some words on it that you could just say when you came in, and it'll help. And it works for us, really. I don't know anyone who I respect more in the world or I admire more in the world than my husband, who is by far more godly than I, who exemplifies for me Christ-likeness in a way that is just palpable and beautiful and empowering. And so our partnership is one that really has worked. It has had rocky moments like any marriage, but it works, and I'm grateful for it. And we have this little gal who we adopted from Guatemala, and you know, he is, if I am fiercely protective of her, oh my, he is more so. He has a gun safe. No, really. We do. And he just says to her, good luck when you start dating, because we're kind of the you're not dating until you're older family. So, you know, she's constantly talking about dating. We're like, he's like, no, and I'm bringing guys from my cannery to chaperone you, who are like this big with shotguns. So have fun, honey. She is a beautiful girl who has severe learning disabilities, barely can write a paragraph cogently, and work so hard, so diligent, and we sit together, and I work with her. Now here's the thing, you know, one of the things I love to do in life is communicate, and I got one who doesn't communicate with me at all, And one of the other things I love to do in life is learn. I love The Life of the Mind, and I got another one who can't write a paragraph. I'm like, God, this is not what I planned. You know, and Dan will say, this is not what I planned. You know what I planned to do with my son? I planned to teach my son how to fly fish. I planned to take my son hunting. I planned. And those are not things that he can do with his son. And there's grave disappointment there. And there have been days when we have been on our knees literally crying out to God saying, help us. God's faithfulness to us does not mean God scripts our life plan the way we scripted it. But God's faithfulness to us means God always shows up. God always gives us enough. We're talking earlier this morning about manna. You know, and how manna, it's for one day, you know, and that's a little unnerving because most of us are like, I'd like a stockpile of manna, stockpile, right? And you know what happens when we start stockpiling that stuff? What? It goes bad. God says, here's what you got. You got manna for today. Every day in my home, I get enough manna to get through the day. And some days I think we're short a little bit of manna. Because some days I think, I don't know, I can't get through. But Psalm 46 says, no, God's love is so deep and so amazing and so certain that God is faithful. That no matter what is happening in your life, God will be faithful to you. Now, I don't know what's happening in your life. I know some of what's happening in some of your lives because you've told me a little bit about your stories and I hope that you'll tell me more. And I know that some of you are in spaces in life where you're like, well, if this is faithfulness, give me unfaithfulness. Because it's not working out. I know that some of you are suffering in ways you can't even verbalize. And I know that sometimes you don't even want to verbalize it because sometimes what you get in return is, well, you just pray about it. You're like, do you think I have not been praying? And sometimes you get that kind of awkwardness that people go, is it catching? Because if it's, right? And it's lonely. And you're like, I'm going inside. I'm hiding. But God's faithfulness says, come out of hiding because I will provide what you need. I will provide for you. So wherever you are right now today, you may be in that place where you really feel like the earthquake is shaken, every foundation you have. And you may really feel like the mountains are crumbling into the sea. But I want you to stand on what is true, which is God is certain and God is faithful and God will provide. I don't always know how it happens because that's how God is. I don't always know because sometimes, you know what, the mortgage doesn't get paid. And sometimes jobs do get lost, and sometimes kids have handicaps, and sometimes spouses die. And that doesn't feel good. But I know God always shows up because he always has, and he always will, and that's why we come to places together, and we get into the Word of God, and we go, this is what we know is true, because some days, you know what, folks, that's all you got. Some days, all I can do is turn to Psalm 46 and say out loud, God, you are my refuge and my strength. You are always ready to help in times of trouble. I do not feel it. I cannot see it, but I know it's true. So because God is certain, God is faithful. Because God is certain, God is present. The Israelites, while struggling in their relationship with God, always knew God was present. And we know that. I know God is present all the time. It's just sometimes I don't want to acknowledge that presence. But God doesn't go away. You know, God doesn't have a poor self-image or get his feelings hurt and take his ball and go home. God's always present. Look at the psalm. The Lord Almighty is here among us, the psalmist says. And then again at the end, the Lord Almighty is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. In writings, in scripture, when things are repeated, like Tim said last night, when maybe it was Roger, it doesn't matter, but when things are repeated over and over again, it's something to pay attention to. Like, God's like, clearly you're going to struggle in this area of believing I'm present, so I'm going to say it again. And then maybe you can grab hold of it. And maybe then I'll say it again, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. And this is one of those moments that God is present. Psalm 46 says, God is certain, therefore God is present. Now, I think one of the ways God shows his presence most profoundly is within the community of faith, is with others. When we can be with another who's a Christ follower, and we can sit down over coffee or go on a walk or play golf or do whatever it is we do, and we say, you know what? I am really struggling in my marriage. Or you know what? I'm sick, and I'm afraid to go to the doctor because I don't want to hear what I might have. Or we say, I lost my job, and I don't know how to go home today and tell my wife and kids that I'm unemployed. When we can be with others and sit with each other and be present to each other, we are experiencing the presence of God. When we isolate out of fear, when we isolate out of shame, when we isolate out of disbelief, we just go deeper in. That is when the mountains fall into the ocean. When we pull away, we miss the presence of God. Is our relationship with God personal? Absolutely. I loved what Tim said last night about this private, personal, because the intimacy in that is just remarkable. And when we do that, we experience that intimacy. We know that dad, we know that closeness. So when we're with another, we can be that presence for them. We can be that presence for him. I mean, it's not like we go, let's just take God in for ourselves, and then let's just keep it in. Don't share it, right? It emanates from you and me when we do. That's part of the beauty of prayer, is you're so centered in it. It gets you so centered in who God is, then you're able to live out of that space. So the Israelites say, God is with us, and we experience that when we are with each other. The last month for me has been really scary because I've been waiting for a diagnosis. I've been waiting to find out if I had cancer. And it came on, you know, it was one of those things where all of a sudden I found something, and I had went to the doctor, and they said, well, you know what, we got to do some more tests. And I was like, why are we doing these tests? And they said, well, because this is the way we were going to find out if this is cancer. And, you know, I know some of you have had cancer. I know some of you have lost people to cancer. I know some of you, our doctors, I know that most of us, when we hear that word, it freaks us out. And let me tell you, the freak out in me was big. Because I got two kids at home who need a mother. I got a husband at home I love who I think needs a wife. And I'm going to be 53 years old on Sunday, and I was fairly certain I wasn't ready yet to go. I was really, really scared, you know? I mean, scared, probably more scared than I've ever felt. And I kept going to God and saying to God, I'm scared. I'm not really an easily frightened person. I mean, it shocks you, I'm sure that I'm kind of out there. And I'm pretty confident, and God's given me that, and I'm confident in who God is because God's shown that to be true for me. But this kind of knocked me down. I couldn't breathe a lot of days. And I couldn't move my neck for like 2 weeks because I was so stressed out. And I grew up in a family where you handled your own problems yourself. It was a dysfunctional family like many of ours. And from the time I was really, really, really little, I realized that nobody was going to take care of me but me. So I just started taking care of myself. And I didn't let people in because people weren't trustworthy. And when I tried to have somebody help me, I didn't get helped. And here I was, and I barely even knew if I wanted to tell my husband. I mean, that's how deeply ingrained that dysfunction was. But that's something God's been working on. And I walked into the kitchen one morning and I stood in front of my husband and I said, "Dan," and he looked at me and I burst into tears, which is very unusual for me. I mean, like, you know, shoulder. Because I came from a stop crying background. Stop crying. So, you know, to be the for the shoulders to shake, that's like the mountains going into the sea. And Dan just looked at me and he just put his arms around me. He says, "It's going to be okay. It'll be okay. It'll be okay. Whatever it is, we'll get through that." Presence of God right in that moment. Those arms around me, that was the Abba. Arms around me saying, "It's going to be okay." I found out on Wednesday, I don't have cancer. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful beyond words, and that's not always the ending of every story. I'm painfully aware of that. But in that moment, you know, I thought, there you are, God, you are present. You're present. You're present amongst your people. I hardly told anybody. I told my husband, I told my two sisters. But in those moments with those people, I knew the presence of God. You cannot do the walk with God alone. You cannot do it. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care what kind of family you came from. I don't care how long you've been a believer. You've got to invite people in. This is how we know God is with us. This is how we are supported. If you do not have a support system, that's a problem. That's one of the ways we move away from God, whether we know it or not. Because it is the people in our lives who are followers of Christ, who have journeyed with us, who love us and are committed to us, who put their arms around us and tell us, "It will be all right. We will not fear. We will not fear. You're not in it alone." Psalm 46 tells us, in an uncertain world, God is certain. Because God is present. And Psalm 46 tells us that in an uncertain world, we experience God's love through his certainty because God is in control. I really loved what you said last night, Tim, when you talked about intimacy and power together. I'm like, wow, that is a dynamic combination. Here you got a God of the universe, the power, I mean, beyond what we can even harness, beyond we can't even imagine. And then we got the God who's intimate. That is an unbelievable combination. I mean, that is amazing when you can tap into that. And the Israelites got it. They got it. At some level, they got it. Some days, not so much. But at a level, they got it because the psalmist says, "Let me tell you these amazing things about God. God is so strong and so powerful. He can do anything, really. He can do anything that furthers his purpose." So for the Israelites, they say, look, God lives in that city, and it can't be destroyed because God is the protector. So if anybody comes at it, God's like, "Oh, I got it. I got it." The powerful God, you know, for Israel, there were all kinds of gods around them, you know, little g. And they were constantly saying, "Let me tell you about our God, because our God is that powerful, but our God is that intimate. That God is in control. That no matter what, that God is in control. See the glorious works of the Lord." And they talk. The psalmist talks about the power of God. That God is a fortress, a fortress. That no matter what, God is there. God is protecting us. God is defending us. God is for us. God is in control. I have a little issue about control. Partly because my growing up life was very out of control. So one of the things that people do when they come out of family systems that are out of control is they take control. However they can. And some of you know that because that's how you are. So So for some people, you know, being out of control, it's always anxiety producing for anybody. But for some, it's less anxiety. And then there's people like me who are like, no, you know, I will try and control. I control by organizing, for example. So the last month, I mean, I was like at the Container Store every day. Because I was so stressed out. I'm like, is this out of control? I don't know the answer. What am I going to do? I mean, my husband says he plans. So he's a planner. So he says to me, well, I mean, I guess I can hire a nanny. And well, I'll just move closer to work. And I'm like, honey, I am not in the grave. Please, right? That's how he does it. Everybody manages that differently. I mean, we're praying, but there's that other little part of us. It's like, I just need to help God out because God, the planets are spinning. And I'm not sure your arms are quite big enough. And so I'm going to try and help you control it. And control is what? An illusion. I can organize till the cows come home. And let me tell you, you come to my house, man, it is organized, which is pretty darn good for somebody with ADD. I mean, little boxes in every drawer, you know. Forks, knives, spoons. All of our athletic equipment, big athletic, there, it's all perfect. Put it in the right slot now. You know, don't put the tennis racket in the baseball bat slot, right? Ooh, all there. Beautiful plastic boxes in beautiful cabinets. Yeah, thanks. But you know what? That doesn't change the reality that life can be uncertain. I mean, it's nice when it's organized, but it doesn't change reality. It's a cleaner reality. God is in control, the psalmist says. God is in control. God is in charge. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. God is a refuge. God is strength. God is fortress. God is heart. God is present. God is in the midst of us. God is here now with you and me in our lives, in control, in charge, very capable, knows his job description, and does it better than anyone else. We got out of the parking garage. The lady who let us in had gone out to run errands and just happened to be driving in and saw us standing at the gate. I'm pretty certain she was an angel. Sometimes when the door feels closed, miraculously it starts to open. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Though the earth quakes, though the mountains may fall into the sea, we will not fear. We're grateful, God. We're grateful beyond measure. There are words we don't even have. We're grateful your Holy Spirit intercedes for us so that you get the message straight up how deep our gratitude is. That when we say, you are certain in an uncertain world, we know it's true. We may not always feel it. We may not always see it. We may wonder about it, but it is true. And you have proven it over and over and over again. God, this morning, there are some of us who are here who are standing behind a gate that closed behind them and they cannot see a way out. And I would ask that your mysterious and incomprehensible and amazing love would be shown to them through your certainty and your promise of security, that you will keep your arms around us, and you will tell us it will be okay, and you will walk through those places with us. And for some of us, we are on the other side of the gate. And we are thankful. And we are aware that another gate will fall. But in these moments, God, would you empower those of us in that space to be incarnationally you, to be your presence to those who need your presence in a way that feels across the table, hand-holding, arms around. Help us to see the moment, take the moment, seize the moment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. In your mercy, speak into our lives where they feel so uncertain. In your mercy, God, help us to live faithfully and truthfully and purposefully out of that place. And as you do that, God, we will be immeasurably grateful men and women. And we pray this in your name. Amen.